crane, flying high above skyscrapers and landscapes. You're listening to Take It From Us. My story, your story, our story.
For South Waikato farmer Ben Pūrua, a hard day's work on the land brings some pride and purpose. And farming's given Ben more than he could have asked for. It's given him a new life, a life away from crime, from gangs and from prison. Ben grew up in the Pukekohe area south of Auckland. He joined a gang at age 13 and was exposed to domestic violence. He is also a survivor of sexual abuse. In 2010, he was sent to prison for manslaughter. He was only 16 at the time. He left prison 5 years later. Finding work was very difficult. But by this time, Ben had a new love in his life, discovered whilst in prison, and he now just needed someone to take a chance on him. That new love has given Ben everything he has wanted and had wanted as a young man: stability, purpose, belonging. And in 2024, he was named the Ahu Whenua Young Māori Farmer of the Year. Here is Ben Pūrua's remarkable story on Take It From Us. Ben, it's lovely to have you on Take It From Us. How are you, man?
Yeah, awesome, mate. How's things?
I'm great. Fascinated to hear more about your story, obviously. But first up, the summer, farming. It's been dry where you are, South Waikato. How are things going?
Yeah, she's pretty hard, eh? Farmers are doing it pretty tough at the moment. You know, the likes of Taranaki in a pretty hard drought, and, you know, so right across the board, and everyone seemed to be struggling within the industry. But yeah, she's pretty dry out there, mate.
I was having a chat with a farmer who I know well the other day, actually. He farms in the South, lower part of the South Island. He said, oh, there's always something, mate. He said, this year it's been too bloody dry. You know, winter will be too wet. We're never happy. It's either too windy or it's too cold, but he was laughing about it. Is that often how it feels to be a farmer?
Oh, we've just got to roll with the punches, eh? That's farming, and nothing goes to plan. You could plan a whole day and none of it happens. So that's just the lifestyle that we have. So yeah,
I sense you're really passionate about it.
Oh, I love this industry. I like to see this industry as something that's really saved my life. It's a big part of my lifestyle and my whānau.
Tell us how it has saved your life, farming.
Yeah, so I guess it's a bit of a different story to most. So I started my farming career, I would say, in Waikia prison, where I got an opportunity while I was sort of coming towards the end of my sentence to go out on the farm there. And, you know, they had quite a few farms there, and had an opportunity to go out there and sort of learn the ropes about, you know, fencing and animals. And, you know, to begin with, it was just an opportunity to get out of my cell, a little bit of freedom. And, you know, from that, it sort of grew to a passion and a love. So, yeah, just that sense of freedom out in the whenua, I fell in love with that.
Was that exposure to farming and being out in green, open spaces a missing part of your childhood?
For sure. Sort of grew up in pretty hard lifestyle, I guess. Poverty, gangs, drugs, alcohol, stuff like that, violence. And, yeah, sort of, I guess, out of a bad situation, being in prison, there was something good there. And for me, that was the farm. So, yeah.
I know that you went to prison in 2010. I think you came out in around 2015. Have I got those dates right?
Yeah, 2014, 2015, somewhere there, yeah.
Have you thought about where your life would have gone had you not had a stint in prison?
Oh, to be honest, it was going to happen then, or it was going to happen at some stage. I was already on that destructive pathway. The environment that I was in, I was a product of. I joined the gang at a young age, and, you know, I was heavily on drugs, so I was already heading down their pathway, and it was normalized. It was normal to me, I would say, seeing whānau go to prison and growing up with a stepdad who was in and out of jail. So I had already thought that that was the pathway. And I looked up to my uncles and all that as my role models. So I didn't really see prison as anything else but my only option. Mm.
So there was obviously a sense of inevitability that you would find yourself there at some point. How did it change you?
To be honest, it was quite scary to begin with. I started in the youth prison in Auckland and sort of got shipped all around the country within the youth justice system. And I guess it taught me to be able to sort of stand on my own two feet. You know, I didn't have family anymore, had no support network, and you're pretty much on your own. So, you know, you sort of got to fend for yourself and the survival mode sort of kicks in. It was hard, but that was the reality. Mm.
Was there a moment in particular when you were in prison where something locked into place mentally and you thought, wow, I think I know where I want to be heading, what I want to be doing?
That turning point for me was definitely going out on their farm. If I hadn't got that opportunity, I would never ever seen farming as an option because it wasn't in my family history. I'd never been brought up in the rural sort of community at all, never seen farming prior to that opportunity. So had it not been for that, I'd probably say I wouldn't be here.
And specifically, what was it about the farming itself that really lit a passion in you?
A sense of belonging. I felt connected to the land. I felt connected to the community. I felt connected to the animals. And it just lit something in me. And, I felt like I belonged. I felt like I finally felt a sense of purpose. Mm.
Did you get a chance to share that purpose with your whānau and your uncles and other people that were close to you?
Oh, I do now. I get to share it now, through the platforms that I guess I've worked myself up to. And, all my whānau now are very proud. They love the journey that I'm on today. And now I guess for me, I just want to be a beacon of hope, for not just for my family, but for anybody out there that's going down their same path. You know, that it doesn't matter where you come from, your upbringing, there are other options out there. And, sometimes all it takes is just bit of hard work and a shift in mindset. So, yeah.
What are you able to quantify or at least ponder the impact that you've had on your own family from what you've done?
Oh, for sure. Just being a role model for my own siblings alone has been huge. And then, for my children coming through, I've got three girls and my wife, just showing a different pathway to what I thought was normal, sort of changing, I guess, the direction in which statistically I should have been going it.
Mm. Mm. So you've been able to break that cycle?
Yeah, for sure. And it's been pretty hard. Like, it hasn't been an easy journey, but, it's definitely been a rewarding one. Being able to see my whānau now flourishing and, being able to give back to not just our community, but, anyone else out there who wants it. So,
It's a powerful story.
Yeah, it's not your typical one, but, I just want to share it to as much people as I can. There's so many whānau out there that are struggling, and I know where they are, and I know where they come from, and I feel like I can relate to that, and hopefully be just that bit of hope for anyone.
Do you try and, like, what's your style of, I think we're talking here now about a style of leadership. You're leading the way. Are you a vocal leader? Do you try and convince people to go down a different path? Or are you really about just doing it your way and hoping that's how best you influence others with your actions?
Yeah, definitely just living life and just living by example, I guess. And, yeah, that's sort of how me and my family have been doing it. There's, I don't think that there's any sort of magical anything. It's just, living life and loving it and doing what I love out here on the farm. And, you know, it's sort of having a ripple effect on others out there. And, yeah, they sort of can see that, that there is a way or change.
So I guess there's a couple of different ways you could tackle this. I'm thinking that you could be evangelical and really preach change from the rooftops, or the other option is to just carefully see others figuring things out for themselves. Do you have a particular approach that you lean into when it comes to helping friends and whānau?
Definitely don't like preaching anything. I'm sort of a person that will just lead by example, and if that's what you want, hey, it's there for you. I sort of don't like pushing anything upon anybody. And, you know, that was sort of me. I knew I needed help and went out and got it for myself and my whānau. And, I think just leading by example is probably the best way. And, yeah.
How do the young men in particular approach you for support?
A lot of them are just messaging through social media platforms, you know, just seeing the lifestyle that we're living. Just seeing the happiness, I guess, from somebody who was in the same environment, in the same upbringing. And, yeah, it's like, oh, how did you do it? And then that's my opportunity to sort of share, life experience, I guess, you know, and sort of go down that route instead of putting it out there, like, this is what you need to do. So sort of giving people the opportunity to reach out and ask and sort of give them the hand up then.
Because often people don't wish hardship on themselves, do they? None of us want to find ourselves in a position where we can't be the best versions of ourselves. So does it take courage for young men to ask for help, for your help?
Oh, for sure. Like, anybody asking for help is a huge thing. You know, it doesn't matter whether you're young, old, it doesn't even matter what race. Anybody that's reaching out for help is a huge thing, so... Yeah, when they do reach out, I feel actually quite honoured and privileged to be able to share my life experience with them in the hopes that they can take something from it. You know, they may not agree with everything, and, you know, they may be able to just take one sort of tool and add it into their kite so that they can start building their bridge or, you know, start building themselves up. So,
You do much public speaking?
I do. I have been doing a bit lately, since the awards last year, and, you know, sort of starting to get out there within the industry and wider. We got to speak at Otoronga College last year, which was a huge privilege for me. And I think that was probably the best environment that I've ever spoken in, you know, with these rangatahi. And, you know, all I did was just shared my story, where I come from, where we are today, and where we're wanting to go. And some of the questions that were coming through from some of those young ones was amazing. You know, asking questions like, How do I deal with the trauma of my upbringing? I mean, like, those sort of questions, real deep, like, yeah, intense.
And they're asking that question of you in front of their peer group.
Yes.
Wow.
It was quite amazing. And it was actually the time that we were filming for Country Calendar out at the college. And yeah, it was phenomenal. I've never ever had that sort of experience with adults ever. Not that deep.
Mm. Young people have an amazing ability to be curious. And often as adults, we can become kind of a bit, not, I wouldn't say guilty, but we become a bit lazy around being curious and finding out about someone's story, which that's the great part about being around young kids all of the time, right, is that they are curious and they ask questions.
Yeah, I think the cool thing about it was they actually had their parents present on the day. That's what made it more amazing. Like, these kids were asking these questions in front of their parents, and they were always like, wow. And I think some of the parents would have been able to take home quite a lot just from their kids asking some of those questions, you know. So,
Knowing the parents are there, does that change your answer?
No, definitely not. I always share it as real as possible, and yeah. As raw as I can.
Mm. Do you ever feel judged, Ben, because of your background?
All the time.
Still?
Yeah. There's this whole thing around imposter syndrome, you know, never feeling good enough, never feeling like, yeah. So I always struggle with that, but definitely with judgment as well. You know, there's always people on our social media giving us shit about this, that, and the other, the past and whatnot. But, you know, just continuing is definitely, I guess, it's hard, but it's definitely worth it. Mm.
And what are your coping strategies with the imposter syndrome and the negative self-talk?
Definitely just being able to build yourself up and having a good support network, having a good wife. You know, so my wife is a massive part of our journey. And, you know, without her, I definitely wouldn't be here. So she's constantly, you know, uplifting. And, yeah, it's amazing.
And tell us about the clothing brand that you've established with Nikki.
Yes, so Kamu Tō Pāmu we established last year in February. And, you know, we thought that we'll just start it because we didn't really like the clothes that was in the farming industry and whatnot. We wanted to bring a little bit of colour and bit of fun to the industry. And, you know, it was sort of something that I wanted to just do for myself to begin with. And, you know, some people in the industry were like, oh, bro, where did you get that from? I created it, this, that, and the other. And, yeah, it sort of led to where it is today, which is quite amazing. It sort of blew up and, yeah, it's growing.
Have you got your own brand of gumboots yet?
No.
Not yet?
No, not yet. Yeah. Might be on the horizon.
I might have just given you an idea, Ben.
Yeah.
Hey? You can thank me later. When you left prison 10 or so years ago, what was that experience like when you're straight out there looking for work or looking for an opportunity?
Yeah, so when I was released from jail, I thought, you know, I was going to go back to jail. And that was sort of my mentality, I guess. Even though you don't want to go back to prison, but yeah, it's all I ever seen. But when I did get out of prison, the week I got out, I landed a job on a farm. In Morrinsville, on Bull Leasing Services. And, yeah, I worked there for a year. I was still out the gate. I was still dealing with things, dealing with life, dealing with this new thing called freedom from prison. But, yeah, I think I was still sort of imprisoned within my own mind, you know. Even though I was released, I was still locked up within myself. So,
And the opportunity, someone gave you an opportunity. I think his name was Roger. What did that mean to you?
Yeah, so Roger Wolf gave me an opportunity on the farm, and that was huge for me. And, you know, loyalty for me is pretty huge. And, you know, I sort of gave him everything because of that. You know, he gave me an opportunity. So, you know, in return, I gave him everything. And I learned all that I could there, you know, with fencing. Even though I started farming inside, there was still a lot more to learn. So, yeah.
What do you think he learned from you?
Shucks, that's a good question. I think what he would have learned from me was, doesn't matter where you come from, doesn't matter your background, then if we can give somebody an opportunity, then we could possibly change the direction of where they head. So, yeah.
So he saw the potential in you and wanted to give you a chance. And you were worth taking a chance on.
I would say so. I would say so, yeah. And no, I was just keen. I was keen to get into work. I was keen, you know, at the interview, it was like, when can you start? I was like, today. I'll start now. You know, so that's how keen I was. And I was ready to get things rolling. And I think he sort of liked that attitude. And I think that's another massive thing, especially for our rangatahi and the young ones sort of stepping into the industry. You know, like some of the advice that I give out there is, you know, just have a good attitude and make sure you show up to work and be willing to learn, you know, so having that keenness. So I think, yeah, in my early stages, that's what I sort of built the foundation on was those things.
How about your peer group from those days in prison? How have they fared since they've been released?
How do you mean, sir?
Have they found it easy or mildly challenging to get work? Has it been hard for them? Do you know?
Oh, for sure. Some of them are struggling, you know. You know, just having their gang background or their criminal record. You know, after that job with Roger, I struggled to find employment after that. You know, I was applying for so many jobs, and just because of the criminal record, nobody wanted to even look at me. So, yeah, it was pretty tough. And you know, I know a lot of other people out there with the same, they're in the same situation, they're probably going through the same thing. So, you know, just continue and stick at it.
So there's obviously a stigma still there, right?
Oh, for sure. And, you know, it's one of the top questions or top things within a contract. You know, have you got a criminal record? Before you even come into the interview, that's number one at the top of the list for an interview. And, yeah, it's...
Yeah, just to touch on that, because for a lot of us that have applied for jobs, yeah, you're absolutely right to point that out. You apply for a job, it's often one of the first questions that all of us get asked. Is it a disqualifier for the employer, or have you found that it then jumpstarts some curiosity as to, look, tell us more before we make a decision about whether you're the right fit for us or not?
Oh, I think it's definitely been a opportunity for the employer to, I guess, I think a little bit, you know, and sort of explore. So in my interviews that I've had, definitely in my career in farming, I've always been up front and, you know, always told the employer I do have a criminal record before the question's even asked. So going into the already, I guess, putting it on the table, you know, this is the situation. You know, this is my criminal record, so to speak. But I'm keen, willing to work, and I'm willing to learn. And it's always sort of been a plus, you know, just being honest. You know, being honest straight off the bat.
And when did you realise that you wanted to be doing it for yourself and to running your own business and to be doing it your way?
I definitely want to eventually own our own farm and stuff like that. I'm still managing at the moment and running our clothing business here. And, yeah, it's definitely on the horizon to get into farm ownership, et cetera, in the near future. So
I know you've got big hopes and big dreams, not just for yourself and your family, but also for other young people who are coming out of prison. Tell us about your dreams.
Yeah, so we have a vision to set up a transition farm for guys coming out of jail. I sort of come through the system and, you know, there was sort of no help at all. Once you were released from prison, that was it. There was no follow-up. There was no how you're doing. You're released with Steps to Freedom, which is $350, and 9 times out of 10, that's either going on drugs, alcohol, and definitely not on food. You know, so it's pretty much a one-way ticket back to jail. Learning all these, I guess, loopholes within the system, you know, we sort of found that there is a need. So setting up this transition farm would definitely need a community of people that have the heart to help people come out of the system, you know, and sort of break those cycles, because not everyone's going to have the same, I guess, support network that I've had with a beautiful wife and family who have been quite supportive and seeing me through to where we are today. You know, so providing that opportunity is going to be huge, you know, and giving these guys, I guess, their hand up. And, you know, where to from the transition would be full-time employment, you know, so building relationships with employers out here and the community within the industry, and hopefully, you know, moving these guys onto those farms after helping them with everything in between.
And Ben, I know recently you sought out the family of the person whose death led to your conviction. Meeting them, what did that mean for you?
Oh, it meant that I could be set free within myself. It meant that I could excel within this industry. So prior to meeting them, I just felt like I was in a box within my own mind, within my own self. And I didn't want to sort of get out in the public or do good for myself, because I didn't want the family to see something, say, in the newspaper or out there in the media saying Ben Pūtua won this and that. And, you know, sort of triggered some sort of trauma. So I wanted to make sure that their relationship or that meeting was in place beforehand. So, yeah.
Are they pleased for you?
For sure. They're very proud. I stay in contact with one of the brothers, and yeah, he's been a massive part of these last few years. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much power in forgiveness, isn't there?
For sure. Just their word alone, forgiveness, has definitely given me my wings to fly. You know, and even though I felt that farming had saved my life, I still was in prison because of, you know, I thought about that stuff all the time.
And then in 2024, you're the Young Māori Farmer of the Year.
Yeah.
What was that moment like when you heard your name read out?
Oh, their moment right there was very emotional. It was very massive for me and my family. And, you know, being able to win on my iwi in my whenua was even a bonus, you know. So the awards took place in Tainui, and yeah, it was amazing. And so many things have sort of happened since then.
Emotional for you?
Very, very emotional. If you haven't seen the speech of that night, I was very emotional.
And tell us about those opportunities that have come your way since that announcement and that night.
So some of the opportunities that have come from that, definitely a huge one has been Country Calendar, you know, so getting the opportunity to have our own episode, which was just aired on Sunday Gone, was huge. I feel like just because of that episode we've won Lotto, you know, it's that same sort of feeling. You know, we sort of grew up watching Country Calendar and whatnot, and watched it while I was in prison, and it's felt like I achieved a lot just in that.
Well, it's high exposure, isn't it? It's one of the most popular shows in New Zealand and has been, like you say, for decades and decades and decades. I'm wondering how much support has come your way or how much interest has come your way for your passion project based on that.
Oh, it's been huge. Like, our phone, I've just gotten an email just before this call, you know, just some of the opportunities that are coming through. Some people wanting, you know, things along the coast to do with rangatahi, you know, wanting, hear a little bit more about the story so that they can help some of their youth that are struggling with the same sort of things and whatnot. So,
What's the main message, Ben, that you send out to rangatahi and to the community about your life and your experience?
That anything is possible, that you can do it, you know, that whole thing about the world is your oyster, it's true. Sometimes we just need to step out of our environment that we are currently in order to see it. Because sometimes our environment is the thing that's, you know, sort of stopping us from growing.
Thanks for being so honest and so candid and having a chat with us.
Cool. Yes, thank you for the opportunity. Any opportunity to sort of share life and experiences and hopefully spark their flame in just one person for me is huge.
Congratulations on all your sincere congratulations on everything you've done, Ben, and we wish you nothing but the best for the future.
Yeah, we've actually got one more opportunity coming up. So we've been announced as a finalist for the Kiwi Bank Young New Zealander of the Year, so that will be announced on Thursday the 20th. Looking forward to that.
Wow. So how have you, they always say that when you're nominated for something big, you should always write a thank you speech, because even if you don't win, you've had the opportunity to feel truly gracious and grateful to all of those people that have helped you. Have you started that?
Yeah, for sure. I definitely wouldn't be here without the people that are around me today. In the community that I have, you know, my whānau, my wife, my children, and, you know, they are the reason why we are here, and, you know, they're the true New Zealanders of the year, you know. So if we get the opportunity to take this out, it'll be because of everyone else that has been a part of this journey. It hasn't just been me alone. My whānau are a big part of this.
Good luck with it, Ben.
Take It From Us is produced by Karen Murphy, and I am your host, Kent Johns. Please get in touch with us on Facebook. We'd love to hear from you.
You're listening to Take It From Us. My story, your story, our story.
To Ireland Calling with Oliver Lee on Planet FM 104.6 every Wednesday night between 10 and 11pm. On the show, you will hear news from Irish correspondents, the latest Irish music, studio guests and news of events happening in the Auckland area, and the chance to win great prizes. All this and much more on Ireland Calling on Planet FM 104.6 every Wednesday night between 10 and 11pm.
Catch up with the Bridgezone crew.
Listen to the banter on bidding, leads and a stealing of kings.
What the heck?
We ask the hard questions. No subject is safe. Should you play bridge with your spouse?
Is there gender inequality in bridge?
How hot are you?
How hot are you?
It's like eavesdropping on someone's conversation.
A postcard from Scotland.
Views from the experienced player to the improvers.
Join us. The fun way to discuss bridge dynamics.
Bridge. Easy to learn, hard to master.
Catch the Bridge Zone on Planet 104.6 FM every Wednesday at 9:25pm.
Beaches.
I love Biffles, taking the dog out for our nails.
Sparkling waters.
The harbour is absolutely amazing.
Green city.
I think it's evergreen.
Different cultures.
And many languages, the enrichment through all the different cultures, faiths.
Auckland is very multicultural.
It's home, and something's always happening.
It's home. Loving Auckland. Our diverse city. PlanetAudio.org.nz.
Take It From Us brings you real stories from real people, sharing their experiences of mental distress and journeys to recovery. Tune in next Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. right here on 104.6 Planet FM, or catch the latest episodes at planetaudio.org.nz/takeitfromus. It's a half